Hey, and welcome into the Big Ten Huddle. I'm your host, JR. I've got a lot to talk about going on in the Big Ten. And we got Eric with us tonight, Eric Boggs of the OHIO podcast. Unfortunately, Zach is feeling a little bit under the weather, but we brought in the best we could possibly do. Oh, I mean the best possible replacement. We brought in Eric Boggs. Eric, how you doing tonight?
I am good, and I am also an ordained minister, so I have that going for me, like Zach Guggenheim. So I might have a little bit more hair, and I might not be as handsome, but I at least can cover that aspect of it.
There you go. There you go. Well, we will look forward to your Big Ten preaching tonight for everybody to be hearing. We got a lot to discuss tonight. Eric, we have Michigan just hired a new offensive coordinator, Andy Kotelnicki, with some of the rumors that was going on between him and West Virginia. A lot of transfer portal stuff. I want to make sure we talk about Dylan Raiola and what's going on there, but just a ton of transfer portal stuff going on. And then, of course, we are going to grade each team's season here in 2024. Just the regular season. We're not gonna think about postseason, all that stuff. We might get some stipulations like, oh, if they do this, if they win a bowl game, it can go up or something like that. But for the most part, we are just gonna stick to the regular season, and we're gonna have fun with it. So let's look at the chat really fast, see who we got here, and then we'll get into it. John here with us, Big Ten Huddle in Michigan slash Arkansas. #multitasking. Very good, very good. I got Illinois, Wisconsin, and Michigan and Arkansas over here on my second screen. So if at any point I just let Eric talk, that's what I'm doing. I'm watching the two basketball games at the same time. We got Dave with us. Said, I knew ESPN bias towards the SEC was bad. I didn't know it was this bad. Watching Nick Saban go from the greatest coach in the world to the biggest B. Yeah. I don't disagree with you, Dave. And that was exactly why. Like, I had a bunch of people upset with me when I said, I don't think Indiana makes it after they lost to Ohio State. And that was why, was because of the SEC bias. Thankfully, Ole Miss and Alabama lost for him, but I gotta be honest. I mean, Eric, you tell me. If Alabama and Ole Miss didn't lose, did you think Indiana was going to get in, or did you think SEC bias was going to take over like me and they were going to put one of those teams in instead?
No, you're completely 100% right. There's no way.
Yeah.
No way.
Yeah. I mean, they did put SMU in instead, so maybe I would have been wrong, but.
Well, but that was kind of the justification. They had to keep SMU in because of the justification of keeping Penn State where they did. They're
Yeah.
related. And so
Yeah, I mean,
people who can't relate that can't see what's going on there.
yeah, no, that's a really good point. They, for whatever reason, they just didn't move anybody after the championship games. I shouldn't say for whatever reason. I know why they did it. Like I said, I don't think they did a good job, but they were consistent. So
That's right.
they were consistent at the very least. And Ward Manuel got a extension out of it over at Michigan. So and then Girth Brooks, he's here, says Penn State needs to find or to hit the portal for a wide receiver. Yes, they do. Thankfully, Penn State will hold on to somebody that they want to hold on to. We'll talk about that here in just a second. But thank you for being here, everybody. I'm sure more people will roll in as we get talking. But Eric, let's just talk about somebody that I know is your favorite topic of discussion as we start off here. Michigan, they hire the North Carolina offensive coordinator, Chip Lindsey. Now, Chip Lindsey has been all around. He was the head coach at Troy. He was the offensive coordinator and the quarterbacks coach at UCF in 2022. He was at North Carolina the past 2 years, 2023 and 2024. Before that, he was kind of quarterback jobs. He's got a start in high school as an assistant coach and kind of worked his way up. So he's really been a man that has worked his way up. But I mean, Eric, maybe it's just the Buckeye in me talking, and people know I do my best to try and be as fair as possible. But with Sherrone Moore talking about how much they want to get somebody who is really good at developing quarterbacks in there, I looked through Chip Lindsey's like past quarterbacks, John Plumlee, Drake May, who I felt like had a worse year after going from Phil Longo to Chip Lindsey. He had kind of some different quarterbacks that came in and out when he was at Troy. I'm not seeing the kind of quarterback whisperer stuff you would kind of hope to see if you're a Michigan fan. Maybe I'm being overcritical. You tell me though, Eric, are you seeing the like quarterback whisperer stuff that they want?
This is not the splash hire I expected him to make, but it is the kind of hire that he, I think he likes to make, because he's all about trolling Ohio State lately. I mean, he just got a quarterback with the last name Herbstreit in the class, and this guy's got the first name Chip, and his last name is a female first name, just like our offensive coordinator. So it all makes sense. He's like, if I can't steal Chip Kelly from you and be the ultimate troll, I'll get the Temu version of Chip Kelly. We'll go get Chip Lindsey.
There you go. I like that. I like that. You and John made the same connection there with you. I didn't even make that connection. I was just like so focused on like, look at the quarterbacks. This is why we bring you in. They would pay you the big bucks, Eric. You
well, see, this is why you bring me in for these kinds of takes. You know what I mean?
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. I mean, we'll see how it works out. I did my very best to look and see if there was any kind of like overlap that Bryce Underwood had with Chip.
The
Lindsey
only thing
something.
I knew about him was that he was the Troy head coach during COVID. That's it.
Yeah.
That's all I knew about him.
And I think he went like 15-19 at Troy or something like that, which, I mean, you don't have to be a great head coach to be a good offensive coordinator. We've seen a number of really good offensive coordinators not be very good head coaches. I will not mention the Buckeyes. And so, I mean, he still could do a really good job, but I tell you, with as much as I heard you know, Michigan fans talking about like Dan Mullins and who's the guy down at LSU? I'm blanking on his name right now. Anyway, they were talking about him. Like, they were talking about these big offensive coordinator splash hires, which I'd be talking about that too if I felt like I had the money that Michigan has right now. But they go out and get Chip Lindsey. So
you talking about Mike Denbrock?
No. Is it Joe or something?
Joe Sloan?
Joe Sloan. Is that who it is?
Yeah.
Because apparently Bryce Underwood really wanted to play.
Oh, the LSU connection. That makes sense. Makes sense.
So I've not had a chance to watch any Michigan shows. I'm sure they've got some stuff they're looking at that they like. I will say, I think Sharon Moore is going in the right direction here. Michigan has been a very much so, you know, run the ball type of team, which has worked for them. But unless you have kind of the makeup that you had, which was just kind of the super team 2 years ago, I don't know if that's going to work out for you. You're going to need some really good quarterback play, which J.J. McCarthy did have there at the end of his career. You're going to need some really high caliber quarterback play in order to win a national championship, and especially to win the Big Ten nowadays too, with how good that's been. So, all right. Anything else on that, Eric, before we move on?
No, it's not a splash, but that doesn't necessarily mean it's not good. And that's the thing that, you know, as right now as an Ohio State fan, who has taken his lumps the last 4 years. I reserve my judgment on this guy until I see him make terrible blunders against Ohio State in a year. Until then, I'm not going to talk much trash at all because I really can't.
That's true. That's true. We cannot. Yeah, we'll see. Like I said, just doesn't seem like it. I'm not saying he couldn't do it or something. I'm sure Sharon Moore knows more about what he's doing here than I know. But yeah, we'll see. All right, Eric, so this is kind of a wild story.
This is crazy.
Yeah, so Andy Kotelnicki, which I spelled his name wrong right there. I apologize.
That's how I would have spelled it. Good job, JR.
I thought I copy and pasted it from an article, but I guess spell check got me or something.
JR says, well, how would Eric spell this? Oh, he'd spell it wrong. There we go.
Yeah. So anyway, Andy Kotelnicki, he was in communication with West Virginia after the season was, well, maybe even during the season. We don't know exactly when that communication started, but he was in communication with West Virginia. West Virginia has fired Neil Brown, and they're trying to look for a new head coach. And West Virginia really wanted to hire Andy Kotelnicki to be their new head coach. Well, Penn State is in the playoffs, and Andy Kotelnicki wants to be a part of what is going on with Penn State because he feels like Penn State has a good shot to win some games in the playoffs, which when you're playing SMU and Boise State next, I don't think you're wrong. So he essentially told West Virginia that he wasn't going to take the job and he wasn't going to shift all of his focus over to West Virginia until after the playoffs happened. I don't know what was communicated there on if he could continue to be employed by Penn State and be the offensive coordinator and what was going on with that. But essentially, Andy Kotelnicki just did not want to go full on being the West Virginia head coach until after the season was over. But West Virginia's like, hey, the portal's going on. We need coaches hired. Like, we need you now if you're going to be the head coach. And I mean, I don't know if it's honorable. I don't know if it's smart. I don't know if it's stupid. Whatever it is, for whatever reason, Andy Kolonicki just said, nope, not doing it. And it looks like they're going to move on and hire somebody else now. Eric, what's your thoughts on this situation?
Was it a
good move by Kolonicki?
I have two thoughts with this. First off, I pat him on the back and say, thank you for honoring your commitment to your players. Like, you ask your players to commit to your program and commit to your game plans every single week and to commit to you as a coach. And that should include the entire season. And for Penn State, that season is not complete. And so I commend him for basically telling West Virginia, look, I'm not going to step one foot into Morgantown until our season is completely finished. And so kudos to him. On the flip side of that, I think that this shines a light on just how awful the calendar is that the NCAA has set up. Yeah. Why are we doing this? Like, there's no reason that players should be leaving teams, JR, that are in the midst of playoff runs. But that's exactly what's happening now. And the NCAA has no one to blame but themselves because they're the ones who set up these calendars. Same thing with early signing period. What are we doing? We just finished the regular season, and now coaches are scurrying around for early signing period, and they should be getting their teams ready for the postseason, those who have winning records or in the CFP. This is stupid. It's ridiculous. Calm down. Just calm down. Reset the calendar the way it should be. That makes sense for everybody. And understand that these things can all wait. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Or find an earlier signing period. You know, like, there's been rumblings about a signing period in July.
July, yeah.
And I think that would
nothing's
work out
going
well.
On in July, apparently, you know?
Yeah. And I think that would work out well. And I know it would give coaches a bit more of a break in the summertime, because then they have kids that sign, and it's not like, oh, I got to, you know, text this kid a Bible verse every morning and, you know, sing the fight song to him. You know, like, I don't have to do all that stuff. I don't have to be the monkey jumping through the hoop.
Do you think Andy Kolonicki knows what the fight song is for West Virginia? Or do you think he just thinks it's Country Roads?
No, he has no idea what the fight song is for West Virginia. I believe he's memorized the Penn State one by heart. He seems like that kind of guy. But the West Virginia one, I bet he has no idea.
by the way, I like him a lot. I think he's a good up and coming coach, and that would have been that would have been a great hire for West Virginia.
To me, I almost felt like West Virginia should have just waited.
Just wait. Okay. Yeah. No problem. Right. Yeah. Like, we understand. It's not like you're going to get worse, West Virginia.
Yeah, no, I agree.
What are they worried about? Losing players to, like, Marshall? Like,
Phillip's got an idea, Eric. Kolonicki, which, yes, I know I spelled the name wrong, to replace Ryan Day. You want to go from one offensive genius to another offensive genius, Eric?
No. I like him, but I don't like him that much. Hey, listen, if you want to – Phillip, that's a – I like the little troll job you did right there. I props to you. That's good. If he's not from Ohio or a former Buckeye, it would not work right now, because you're essentially going from Ryan Day to Ryan Day with a much harder spelling of a name, which for Ohio State fans like myself would be like, that would take me at least a solid week to figure out how to spell his name correctly. I mean, look, JR is much smarter than me, and he struggled at it tonight too. So, but no, that's not going to happen. The next coach better be a Buckeye.
Andy Kolonicki's from Minnesota.
Yeah, see, that's not going to work. I mean, he's been rowing boats too much.
Yeah, he played center. It's a little interesting. That guy.
I do like centers as head coaches. Those guys are tough. Yeah. They're good. They're smart dudes.
They are smart. Yeah, I spelled it real wrong. Oh,
you
no, I just missed
terrible.
The eye.
You missed, you're missing the eye at the end. That's all.
I just missed the eye.
That's all.
Brooks says, with PSU keeping Coach K, there we go.
I can do that.
There you go. Yeah, that's exactly what we needed there. Might change things if they retain some key positions and hit the portal. They might be elite. There are some rumblings, Eric, that
slow
Drew
down.
Might come back. Might come
slow
back next
down.
Year.
Listen, as long as Franklin's there, Penn State will never be elite. I'm sorry.
I will say, I was telling the viewers, he's gotten more aggressive lately. I just think he needs to refine the aggression a bit. I like the aggression of going for it with the punt in the Minnesota game, but I did not like the early going for two. I felt like he should have waited until that was at the very
I
end there against
personally
Oregon.
really enjoyed the aggression of going at the fans and then ringing the victory bell after
Oh.
taking the L. That's the kind of aggression I really enjoyed. But no, James Franklin, like I listen, if I'm Girth Brooks right there, I'm thinking I want to keep Coach K, as he called him,
Yeah.
because I don't know that Coach F is going to be is going to do it for you guys.
I don't think
So
he'd like it if you called him Coach F, Eric.
well, that's
Yeah.
kind of what it's been.
Dave says, "What's wrong with rowing the boats? PJ is doing good at Minnesota." I wasn't trying to say that he should go to Minnesota.
Listen,
Sorry, Dave, that's
listen,
not what I was trying to say. But
listen.
hey, PJ's got him bowling this year.
You can row boats, you can wear loafers, but you cannot wear loafers and row boats at the same time. I that's where I draw the line, Dave.
Oh, the loafers, the
By the way,
loafers.
this Ski U pod, check it out if you haven't, Dave. That is my
I think
favorite
Dave does
Minnesota
listen
podcast. I
to the
love those
Sky U
guys.
Pod. Yeah. Yeah.
Fantastic.
They do a great job. They're occasionally in the chat from Twitter, but they're not here tonight, so maybe another night. Philip says Belichick taking the UNC job. How long before they schedule Michigan just to beat Brady's school? Belichick. They're
It.
going
That's
after him
great,
tonight.
Philip
Oh,
Belichick.
Dave said he was on the channel. Okay. I didn't see you when you were on there, Dave. I try to watch Sky U Pod when I can. So awesome. Yeah. So Dave is well aware. I don't know. Did he take the job for sure?
Yeah, I thought so.
I guess he's taking the job, but he gave them like a big long list of like demands, right? So I didn't
Like
know if North
like
Carolina.
he only wants the blue M&Ms every morning. Listen, he's gonna go golfing more than he's gonna coach. Like th this is like what's his name? Spurrier going to South Carolina. That's what
Yeah.
this is. This is a retirement gig. I'm gonna coach for a few more years, make a couple more million to pay my wife, who's the same age as my daughter, and make sure she's happy. That's all this is.
Well, and it's also to get his son a head coaching job.
Right. Yeah, set him up. But I don't know that his son needed him to set him up, in all honesty.
That's my thing. He was doing a good job at what at Washington. I feel like
He
he
was
would have got a job
fine.
eventually. Yeah.
Yeah.
But I don't know. Just is what it is. It's what it is. All right, everybody. We're gonna hit a commercial really fast, and then we'll come back. We'll talk about some transfer portal buzz, some news, some rumors, all that good stuff. So we will be right back after this message. The Big Ten Huddle is brought to you by the College Huddle, the largest fan-led college sports podcast community on the internet. With contributors from 70 different schools, you will get in all kinds of analysis from all over the country. Go visit thecollegehuddle.com to find your team and read articles from all across so many fans and contributors. The College Huddle is fan-made, fan-driven, and fan-fueled. Back here on the Big Ten Huddle, we've got some portal stuff going on. Honestly, Eric, this is one of my favorite times to podcast
Are
because of.
you more portal guy now than you were? Like, I'm starting to transition from following recruiting, and I get a little bit more excited about portaling.
I get more excited about portaling because it's instant impact, right?
Exactly.
Recruiting, you kind of like, okay, this guy's good, but he's
Yeah.
gonna take a couple years. And like
Well,
sometimes you're like, this guy's good, but he might transfer. Like
right, and that's my thing. It's like, okay, so like you go back and you look at the class from 3 years ago, and it's like half of them are portaled, and you're like, why get excited about these kids? I don't know who's going to stick out and who's not, where the portal guys are pretty instant, you're getting your money's worth pretty quick from those guys. I'm getting a little bit more excited about the portal.
Well, and especially with how aggressive certain teams are being, which I think when it first started, like Ohio State, which uses them as an example because we both followed them a lot then, like they didn't really go hard into the portal when it first happened. They got Trey Sermon. He was kind of the big one. Justin Fields was before the portal, right? He
He
got like
was
an exemption or
he was a
exemption.
he was a transfer exemption, yes.
Yeah.
Hardship is what they would call that
Right.
back in the day.
Because
Now
the
they
fans
just
couldn't keep their mouth shut.
yeah.
I'll
Oh,
leave
what
it at
was the guy
that.
we got from Rutgers? Didn't we get a lineman from Rutgers that was really good? He ended up getting drafted by the Lions. What
I
was
think
his
you're
name?
right. forget what his name is.
Played guard.
Yeah, he did play
Shoot,
guard.
It's
He was
been
good.
It's been so many years now.
Yeah,
my brain's
but,
fried.
But yeah, so I mean, the portal. I think it's more exciting because it does directly add to the next season. I will say it makes it nearly impossible to like predict the next season because you can have a team who was really bad, but then they did really well in the portal, and you're like, well, they must be a lot better, but they could also be really bad again because their coach isn't all that good. So it makes it really hard to predict how good they're going to be. But
Jonah Jackson, that's it. Jonah Jackson.
Hummus Hero says, don't forget Vic Cutler. They did not get their money's worth.
Hummus, dude.
He was Louisiana, wasn't he?
Yeah. Like Louisiana Monroe. It's like, yeah. It's like,
yeah. That's funny.
Yeah, they didn't get any money. They didn't get that. Well, I don't know how much they paid in NIL to old Vic Cutler, but.
Yeah, and whatever it was too much. all right. So, Eric, we got a lot of different portal stories we could go at here. I mean, the former five-star defensive lineman, Keyshawn Silver, he's visiting USC and Michigan. Michigan has four offensive linemen in the transfer portal. Just kind of a little interesting to see that happen. I don't know if it means anything, but I know some people are speculating it does. Dylan Raiola says he's all in after Chris Hummer was starting a whole bunch of rumors that was only coming from him. Like, you think of rumors, you think of On Three, but no, 24/7 has gotten fully into the rumor mill this year with the transfer portal. And then Purdue's losing guys who are more interested in Notre Dame than anywhere else, it seems. I mean, I got a lot of stuff on the list here. Where do you want to go first?
Let's just go down the list the way you had it.
Okay.
That you sent it to me, because that's how
Keyshawn
in my head.
Silver.
Yeah, so North Carolina guy hasn't played up to his expectations as he was recruited. I think he was one of the biggest commitments Kentucky's ever gotten.
Yep.
And it just hasn't come to fruition. If he ends up going to Michigan, and I can't believe I'm going to say this as an Ohio State fan, but since I'm on your channel and this is the Big Ten Huddle, I will do the right thing here. If he goes to Michigan, that is really smart, because I think they develop defensive linemen about better than anybody else right now in college football.
Yeah, I mean, especially if they can keep the same staff that was in there before, right? I mean, it was going to be a big deal if Mason Graham and Kenneth Grant kind of fell off. Kenneth Grant wasn't as good at the beginning of the year, but I really felt like he got his conditioning under him toward the end of the year. And Rashawn Benny really started to come around. I was kind of, you know, thinking he wasn't quite as good at the beginning of the year, but then he came around and he looked much better at the end of the year as well. So when you look at it, I don't know if it's the same amount of development that they had before, but between the way Graham and Grant looked and Benny and how good of pass rushers TJ Guy and Josiah Stewart were, I'm with you, man. I mean, if I'm choosing between USC and Michigan, and there's a couple other schools that he's visiting too, but if I'm choosing between those two, there is no way I'm not going to Michigan.
It just depends on what you want. If you want developed, you want the opportunity to go to the NFL, you're probably going to Ann Arbor. If you want to go out the West Coast and you want to look at pretty girls on the beach, you ain't going to get that in Ann Arbor. You can decide which one I mean by that.
Yeah, no, I know what you mean by that. All right, so the other one, sticking with Michigan, Michigan has four offensive linemen enter the transfer portal. Dominic Giudice, who started at center for them for five games. Tristan Bounds only played one snap, so he's not like a major loss. Andrew Gentry, he started two games, I believe at right tackle, if I'm not mistaken. And then Raheem Anderson, who is a pretty highly rated guy in the portal, but he only played four snaps for Michigan. So what's your thoughts there, Eric? Do you think that trouble in Michigan for the offensive line, or are you kind of like they're going to spend?
Do you want my tinfoil hat?
Sure, let's do it.
This is Sherrone Moore telling they're not going to have a chance to play because he's taking NIL and he's going out, and he knows two things. Offensive line play was not up to par with championship level this season. That's a true statement. No one's going to argue that. Number two, Ohio State's going big in the portal for offensive linemen. He can improve a weakness on his team and hurt Ohio State at the exact same time, and they now have the NIL to do it. I think he told these guys, you got no shot at playing.
Yeah, that's what I think too. I think that, I mean, you're bringing in Babaloa, and what's the other five-star tackle? Did they get Haywood? I think they got Haywood. And he's coming in as well. Like, so you bring in these five-star tackles, and you're seeing more and more freshmen come in and play all across college football now, not just in different positions, like skill positions, but also on the offensive line. I mean, Jordan Seaton played for Colorado this year, and even though that was in the Big 12, that went pretty well for them, at least from what I saw. And yeah, they got the money for it. I mean, when you got Larry Ellison donating money to your collective, you definitely got the money for it. So, Eric, you there? Or you frozen?
I'm here.
Okay, you think you were frozen there for a
It's
second?
just depressing.
Okay, that makes sense. That makes sense. Penn State guy wants to bring this up. He said, "Kevin Concepcion. I apologize. I'm probably saying that wrong.
It
Is an NC
Concepcion?
State portal wide receiver. Penn State is going after hard. Look." I think Andy Kotelnicki is seeing everything, and he's like, man, if we want this offense to be elite, we gotta bring in some wide receivers. And so for me, that was one of the biggest things with him sticking around, not just what he can do with the offense, but I think he's probably an aggressive offensive coordinator that's going to James Franklin. He's like, look, if we want to this offense to get better, we're gonna have to go spend some money on some wide receivers. And
He
there's a lot of
knows
good
what
wide
a
receivers in the portal.
good offense looks like with his time in Kansas.
Yeah.
And that ain't it right now in Happy Valley.
Yeah, I mean, I said it after the Penn State Ohio State game. I think Penn State could have beaten Ohio State if they had better wide receivers, but they didn't. So we'll see what it looks like next year. All right, Dylan Raiola. This is the big one. So Dylan Raiola,
I know what's going on here.
the rumor is that Chris Hummer started on, I think it was on the 24/7 board for Nebraska, started a rumor saying that Miami was coming after Dylan Raiola hard, and maybe Auburn too. There was another school too, but they were coming after Dylan Raiola hard. And of course, Dylan Raiola transfers high schools, what, three or four times in his high school career. He decommits twice from different schools, eventually goes to Nebraska. And I mean, even Zach and I said it on this channel. We were like, look, listen, we don't think he's going to transfer, but you can't rule it out with a guy who transferred this many times out of high school and decommitted this many times in recruiting. Like, so we're not saying that it's definitely going to happen, but you can't rule it out. And it got so big that Dylan Raiola eventually came out and said he's all in and he's not
Yeah, he's
transferring. Do you
all
believe it?
in. He's all in after the NIL check got bigger. Dude, listen. This is not Dylan Raiola. His dad played in the NFL, right? He's a smart businessman, okay? This is totally using, and look at the names that were the two schools you just mentioned, Miami and Auburn, who are going hard in NIL right now after players, especially in recruiting, right? And this is the Riola family going, Nebraska, you played our son first year. You want him to stay for his sophomore year? You're going to have to show him a little bit more love if you know what we mean. That's exactly what this is. And if you think this is going to be something that just happens to the big five stars who go to a school like Nebraska, think again. This is going to be happening everywhere. Jeremiah Smith at Ohio State, you best believe he's probably going to be getting more NIL next year, right? It's going to happen everywhere, okay? This is not yeah, exactly. Money, money, money. This is not our dad's. You go to college, you get a scholarship, and you get a letterman's jacket. Okay. This isn't Rudy here anymore, guys. This is big business now, man. That's
Which, if
all
you
this
are a
was.
fan of the OHIO podcast, you know how much Eric and Chris enjoy the Ohio State versions of Rudy.
Yes, right. Mike Wargo, baby.
There you go. There you go. We'll leave that for you to go discover on the OHIO podcast if you want to discover that. David Greenshields here. He says, "What's up, fellas? Thanks for being here, David. We appreciate you, man." All right, let's look at. I think you covered that well there, Eric. So Purdue players. All right, there's two big Purdue players that are in the portal right now: Dylan Thieneman and Max Clair. On3 has connected both of those guys to Notre Dame already. Now it's not anything for sure, but they're kind of like, hey, be on the watch here for Notre Dame. They've possibly already been in contact with both of these guys, and they're both going to consider them at some point. I mean, Eric, we think Notre Dame's just looking across the state here and saying, "Yeah, sure. All those good players that were playing for Ryan Walters, he didn't know what to do with. Let's bring them on over here." Or do you think some other teams, Ohio State's going after Dylan Thielemann, Michigan's going after Dylan Thielemann as well? Do you think some other teams have a chance? What's your thoughts here?
I do. I think which Dylan, I saw Dylan in the chat there. Thielemann, he's the third of the brothers to play at Purdue.
I know. I was surprised to see him transfer.
This has got to break Purdue's heart that this guy's going to the portal, because his family bleeds Boilermaker gold and black, man. I mean, it's kind of shocking. I'm not gonna lie. I'm shocked by that. He was, I believe, a Big Ten freshman of the year last year. At least he was
He was
defensively.
all American freshman his
Yeah, I
last
mean
year.
he was phenomenal. Has had a bad game against Notre Dame, by the way. A bad game against Notre Dame. But this guy is talented as could be. And if Ohio State can get him, fantastic. Throw him in the backfield and move Caleb Downs up, baby. That's kind of how I'm looking at that. So yeah, he's the one I would want as an Ohio State fan. But as far as Notre Dame just picking what's up the what's left off the carcass of Purdue, after they rolled their big drum down in there to their stadium and had their way in West Lafayette. I mean, it makes sense. It's not that far from West Lafayette to South Bend.
I have a theory
Oh yeah,
that
what's that?
if you play a team before, like, they have a bad season and all their players transfer, or even like a G5 team, like a group of five team, you identify which players did a really good job against you, and you go up to them and you be as nice as humanly possible. Like, for Ohio State, after they got done playing Marshall, I would be going up to Mike Green, that defensive end that sacked Will Howard, and I would be shaking his hand. If I were Ryan Day, I'd be shaking his hand. "Hey, great game, young fella. Man, what a fantastic job. You were working out. Like, oh, you look great, man." Like, I'd be
You've been
buttering him up
working
as
out, young man. I
like,
hope
I'd be
so.
buttering him up as much as possible, because guess what? If he had a good game against you, he's probably going to have a good season the rest of the time. And if you're a bigger school, you're looking at him and saying, "Hey, maybe you come here." And if Notre Dame just beat Purdue 66 to nothing, you're like, "Hey, you know that freshman All-American they had on their team? Somebody go talk to that kid and let him
Yeah.
know how much, you know, hey, just a bad game, brother. You're okay. Come to play at Notre Dame
Yeah,
next year."
Marcus Freeman walks up to him and goes, "Hey, I look a lot like him. I'm just more handsome and I'm at a better school. You should come play for me, man." No offense there, Dylan, on Walters, but didn't go so well for you guys there.
Yeah, I think they're glad he's gone. I like the new hire of Barry Odom. I don't know if he's gonna be like a playoff coach for him or anything in the first few years like Cignetti is, but oh, 66-7. Sorry, Dylan. I don't know if he's gonna get him to the playoffs anytime soon like Cignetti did, but I think at the very least they won't go 1-11 with him.
Listen, Ryan Walters had the best recruiting class that they've had, I think, ever in this past year.
And now they're 105th. You know where that would rank in the MAC?
Ooh,
10th
that's a
out of 12th.
nice trivia question.
Listen, I said all year long, Purdue would be a bottom four team in the MAC. That's how bad they were this season. They would be a bottom four team in the MAC. And based off their recruiting, looks like they're there.
That Tuesday night action between Purdue and Kent State, win, that'd have been a barn burner, huh?
You're real spicy. Oh boy. All right. Let's not talk too much Purdue. We don't want to make Dylan leave.
He'll
Thanks for being
you're
here,
gonna get
Dylan.
a message. Send me the link. Send me the link, brother.
We are. Listen, I reserve Dylan for the off season when we need to do like a 3-hour episode. I reserve Dylan for that because he can get us there. All right. So we got two Ohio State things here. One of them is kind of out of Ohio State. The other one is about Ohio State and some other teams. But Ohio State, Oregon, and Nebraska are all showing interest in the Nevada offensive tackle, Isaiah World, who has started 30 plus games at Nevada at tackle. He projects to be a tackle wherever he goes. He has the size for it. I mean, this guy's going to be big wherever he goes. I mean, people thought you know, oh, you could get a tackle from Stanford or something like that. This guy's going to be really good wherever he goes. And there's a number of Big Ten teams, like I said, Ohio State, Oregon, Nebraska. There's a ton, almost the entire SEC is after this kid as well. So this is going to be a huge one. What do you think, Eric?
This guy, after you sent me these, I went and did some digging on this guy, watched some film. The dude's Jimmy Simmons.
Yeah.
He even looks like him. I mean, it's literally plug and play Jimmy Simmons. So if Ohio State was like, man, we really wish Jimmy wouldn't have gone to the NFL, wish he would have came back after that injury, this is your Jimmy Simmons right here. You need to go get him.
Yeah, no, for sure. I do think that he's going to make a lot of money. I mean, when you got Big Ten teams, Ohio State, Oregon, and Nebraska, I was surprised that Michigan wasn't going after him. Maybe they are. Maybe they just haven't reached out yet because they're reaching out to so many different people. They're like, oh, hold on, we got to – send this guy a text too. But I mean, he is going to be in high demand. I'll be surprised if an Ohio State team, or not Ohio State, a Big Ten team gets him though, because with how much the SEC is going after him, I feel like an SEC team is probably going to grab him, but maybe not. We'll see.
He's a West Coast guy. San Diego is where he's from. Again, yeah. Jimmy Simmons Jr. here, man. I don't know. Maybe Jimmy's got an in with him. Maybe Ohio State says, Jimmy, maybe. Call up, did they go call to the same up Jimmy Jr. here, buddy.
They go to the same high school?
No.
No? Okay.
Just same town. San Diego's got more than one high school there.
Oh, yeah, sure. Is Scum, you mean Michigan, hire Mullen. I have to say the real name on the show, David. Gonna hire Mullen as the offensive coordinator. I heard some rumors. No, first thing we covered here on the show, they are hiring... Here he is, Chip Lindsey. So it'll be Chip versus Chip.
They're hiring Ohio State, Michigan. The Timu Chip Kelly named Chip Lindsey.
Yeah.
Who they got.
Yeah, that news came out about an hour ago, I believe. It kind of came out right before we came on the show. All right, a couple more, Eric. Ohio State's quarterback enters the portal, Devin Brown.
Yeah.
Is this the start of a quarterback exodus coming from Ohio State?
What
is the rest of the nation going to benefit from it? Like so many people, I mean, we had people begging for Lincoln Kienholz to enter the portal last offseason.
Yeah.
What do you think?
What constitutes exodus in your opinion? How many?
I would say two or three. Probably three.
Then no. If two, yes. I don't think we're going to get the three.
So you think Brown and Kienholz?
Yes.
Okay.
I do not think, and this is a little bit inside baseball for you guys, Hunter, I don't think Aaron Nolan is going to go to the portal. Aaron Nolan's dad frequents our podcast all the time. He's there all the time. And he told us, he called into the show, told us, listen, guys, Air is trusting the process. He knows it's a process. He knows quarterback development. It takes time. He's, you know, because he had a little bit of a rough start there at first. Don't worry about it. He's not going nowhere. There's rumors he was going to leave right there.
There were tons of rumors that he was like down in Georgia and he wasn't with the team anymore.
I think he at least gives it the spring to see where he's at in this. Yeah. And look, he played better than Will Howard and Julian Sain in the spring game last year. He did. He looked better than both of them. Now, that obviously, we're not there for every practice, JR, and so we don't see every single rep, right? And maybe it's one of those things where the kid, when the lights are on, he just shines the brightest, you know? But I think he's at least going to give it a spring and maybe another season to get on there, especially if he goes in there and let's say that it's a tight competition, because you know how Ryan Day likes to say, I don't know who's it going to be. And then all of a sudden, you know, he's the backup for the first season. And if there's an injury, he gets in. You just don't know.
Yeah. Troy thinks that Lincoln stays for another year. He might. He might. I mean, he's got the time. And, you know, I think he was baptized over the offseason. So he might really have a connection with some of the other guys.
Yeah, that's true. We'll see. And that's what I've been trying to tell people is you don't. Because a lot of people, I had this argument with a fan on our podcast, JR. And this is a perfect segue here. Not every person who leaves your program is leaving to become a starter, and not every person who stays is you know, has to, you know, like, for let me back up. Let's take a quarterback, for instance. Okay, let's take Lincoln Kienholz. Lincoln Kienholz might stay at Ohio State despite the fact that he gets passed over by every quarterback that comes into the room. And he's like never got it. Yeah, he's never got a chance to play again, right? But he loves the university, and he loves the fact that what he can get from the university, beside the education, offers him financial benefits that he wouldn't get from somewhere else. There's been a lot of backup quarterbacks at Ohio State who make a really good living for themselves at, in Columbus, and just using the connections they have with this fan base and this with you know, and this alumni. And so he might be looking at the bigger picture here, some of these guys, and say, you know what, I could probably go to North Dakota State and maybe become a starter, or I could stay at Ohio State, be a backup, and just really enjoy the heck out of my life with all the benefits I get from that.
That's true. That's true. I was wondering if Jaden Ballard was going to do that, but he's in the portal now. So, but yeah, you're exactly right. I mean, it's definitely one of those fan bases that if you're a Buckeye and you stay the whole way through, you're going to find yourself to be appreciated by the fans and all that. So, Troy says his reasoning is he was always going to be a developmental guy due to a small school he came from. He would benefit another year under the conditioning and practice at Ohio State, which is very true. He was a multi-sport guy, didn't really put all of his time into football, but he has the athleticism for it. He's a
Gatorade Player of the Year, North Dakota State, played three sports. He played football, basketball, and baseball, was also the Mr. North Dakota, or whatever state it was, North or South Dakota, I can't remember which it was, and I think baseball.
Yeah.
Dude's a phenomenal athlete, right? Yep. So yeah, Troy's he's on it right there.
You're on it, Troy. You're on it. Appreciate you being here. All right, last thing. Skip over the Michigan State one. Not because we don't care about Michigan State, but there just wasn't a whole lot of meat on the bone for that one.
Can I say this about that real fast?
Oh, go ahead. Sure.
I do think that, and we're going to get into the grades for Michigan State, and they're a little bit lower than what I anticipated them being, but do not sleep on Michigan State having a really big portal season. This guy knows what he's doing, and he's got connections on the West Coast, and he's got a good young football team to build around.
And I saw a lot of people complaining about his recruiting class, only 15 3-stars, and, you know, oh, this isn't good enough. We thought we were getting a better guy. The entire time I was thinking to myself, he's not getting 15 3-stars on purpose. Like, it seems like to me, Jonathan Smith, he's a good coach. He knows what he's doing. He's thinking, I'm going to go out to the portal and get a number of guys and try to do something next year.
But look, when you played as many freshmen and sophomores as he did this year, The next freshman class that's coming in is all backups.
Yep.
Like, these aren't going to be
holes next year.
He's just filling holes, and he's going to go portaling. He's going to build around this young team. They're going to be pretty good next year.
Yeah, no, I agree. Last thing, Eric, USC defensive lineman Bear Alexander looks like he's interested in Oregon, Penn State, a number of other schools. SMU was another one that he mentioned by name. We don't really talk too much about them since they're in the ACC, but what's your thoughts here? I mean, do you think Bear Alexander can go somewhere and contribute? I mean,
I ask you this question about him? He had really good stats 2 years ago. What happened this year?
So if I remember correctly, I looked into it quite a bit. De'Anton Lynn really wanted to rotate the defensive line a lot more, and try to get the guys to be fresher, and Bear Alexander didn't like that as much. And because I don't know why, but he wasn't actually starting, there for USC. Some other guys had kind of jumped him, but he was still playing a lot of snaps. So that was kind of the thought process was like, you know, maybe he's upset that he's not starting, but
he really wasn't going hard then.
Yeah, that's kind of what it seems like to me. Maybe he felt I'm getting paid all this money, I don't need to go as hard, I'm a starter and stuff like that. But you bring
that's
in a new coach like
De'Anton
Lynn, like, he's not going to fall for that.
Yeah, that's not a good sign for him then. Yeah. I wasn't sure if it was an injury or something, because there was a serious drop off in statistics from last year to this year. I typically, when I see that, I think they'll probably stay West. And if Oregon offers him and he thinks he's got a chance to do something at Oregon with what the momentum they've got and the program that Dan Lanning's building, I would, if I'm him, I'd probably go to Eugene. If, you know, depending on what his motivation is. I mean, you know, you know, Oregon's going to cut checks. I mean, that's Nike money's real.
Yeah, no, it for sure is. For sure is. All right, everybody. We're going to hit a commercial really fast, and then we'll come back, and we will give our grades for every Big Ten team in the 2024 regular season, just regular season. We won't get into we might talk about postseason and what they can do to improve their grade, but we'll just grade the regular season. We'll be right back. Home Field is your go-to destination for premium collegiate apparel with a passion for comfort and a flair for vintage design. Home Field brings you gear that is comfortable and stylish. With over 150 colleges to choose from, Home Field digs deep into the archives, uncovering forgotten logos, iconic mascots, and legendary moments to create one-of-a-kind apparel. Use my code TBTH for 15% off for new customers, or use my link in the description. Back here on the Big Ten Huddle, please do like and subscribe. It helps us out. We appreciate it. Even though Zach's not here, Zach would want you to like and subscribe.
Listen, Zach told me to tell you all that if you're not subscribed to this channel, he's going to pray thunder down upon you in your life. He has that kind of power. So you all make sure you're subscribed to this channel and you hit the thumbs up button. We wouldn't want anybody to get hurt tonight.
It's the only thing saving you from YouTube crashing and you never being able to watch YouTube ever again.
Yeah, that and you don't talk bad about Kirk Herbstreit like happened to us Sunday night. We don't want to talk bad about Kirk Herbstreit or his kids. He calls ESPN. They make one phone call to YouTube and they crash your show.
Wait, did your show get in trouble on Sunday night for talking?
No, we froze. Remember, Chris and I both froze. That's right. We started talking about Herbie. Next thing you know, we're.
That's right. I was there. I was like, I thought the show went fine, but okay. All right. Eric, let's grade some teams.
Let's do this. I can't wait for this.
So let's kind of bounce around a little bit. Okay. We'll save Ohio State. I'm sure we'll have a good rousing discussion on that. I think one of the most difficult teams for me to grade, and I really want to get your opinion on them, is Iowa. Iowa this season, they came in with a lot of guys coming back on the defensive end. They come in with the new offensive coordinator. People are excited about that. Caleb Johnson has an amazing season, but you still only win 8 games this year. Now the win total was set at 7.5, so you did exceed that win total. Yeah. But I think Hawkeye fans were thinking this was a possible playoff team, right? Mm-hmm. But you drop those two games to UCLA and Michigan State, you're not making it. You lose to Ohio State and Iowa State, maybe, right? I mean, there's a chance there. But you drop those two games to Michigan State and UCLA where the defense was not nearly as good as it has been. I'll give my grade in just a second, but what's your thought process
here? So before I give a grade, JR, let me ask you this question, because in my head, here's how I'm doing it. If I think a team should be here and they're maybe here or here, that's going to affect my grading, not necessarily where they ended up. So for instance, like, right, let's take Ohio State, for instance. I'm probably going to grade them harder than I'm going to grade, you know, let's say Purdue, right? Okay. So just taking that into account.
Purdue fans will not like my grade, by the way, for Purdue.
Outside of the team up north that resides in Ann Arbor, I dislike Iowa the most next on this in the Big Ten. It's for personal reasons.
Yeah.
When my ex-wife divorced me, she remarried and moved her kids to Iowa. And so I hate Iowa. I hate the rolling hills. I hate their corn. I hate Iowa City. I hate their colors. I hate everything about Iowa. So it's personal for me. Okay.
Nothing against Kirk Ferentz.
Well, he's as old as dirt. Okay.
Okay.
and he held that fan base hostage, by the way. And so all of those who want to erect a statue for this guy, why?
Yeah.
Why? I went with C+ for Iowa.
Okay. All right. You were a little harder on him.
That's to be expected, though, because I don't like him.
I ended up giving them a B. And I really thought about a B minus, but they did get over their win total. So I'm like, can I really give them like something close to a C when Dave's a Minnesota fan. So I love this guy.
I can't stand Iowa. I really, by the way, Nebraska and Iowa, it's a great rivalry. I don't know why. Like, it doesn't go back that far, but they got the dumbest rivalry trophy next to Illinois and Ohio State, right? That thing, they should call that rivalry the Children of the Corn, and it should be a bloody, freaking bloody sickle that they play for. I think it's phenomenal. They should do that.
There you go. So I'm going to give Iowa a B because they did get over their win total. I felt like Caleb Johnson had a phenomenal year. I think that gives you hope for the offense in the future. But I don't know, like 8 wins just still didn't seem like enough for me to go any higher than that. So I feel like I was being gracious toward him by giving him a B. But now that I'm thinking about it, maybe I should have done a B minus. So
yeah, change your grade. B minus, go C plus. Makes sense.
All right, fine. B minus. I got to write down your grade so I can make a graphic. B plus.
Yeah. It's a great idea. Then I can steal it and put it on my Facebook page.
Yeah, I don't post on Facebook. So there you go. What did you say, C plus?
I did.
Okay. All right. Let's go. You kind of like this team. Let's get you in a better mood. Rutgers.
I do like this team. Disappointed, though. Listen, I thought the way Indiana played this year is how I thought Rutgers was going to be. Like, I thought Rutgers was going to sneak into the playoffs, but they had that bad stretch this season. What'd they end up with, 7 wins?
Rutgers, yeah.
7 wins. I thought they could sneak in with 10. They lost a couple that you kind of scratch your head a little bit and be like, they shouldn't have really lost that game. And it kind of started off bad when they lost their linebacker, their starting linebacker at the beginning of the season. It was really, really good. Muhammad, was that?
Torrey.
Yeah.
Muhammad Torrey.
Yeah. And, you know, love the running back. I think Shiano's doing a great job there in New Jersey. He's the perfect coach for them. But because they didn't achieve what I was hoping them to achieve, but they're still 7-5, which. If I'm not mistaken, that's the most regular season wins they've had in a while. Weren't they 6-6 last year?
They were 6-6 last year. Yeah. Well, they were 7-6 because they won the bowl game. But
right.
Yeah,
but they were 6-6 in the regular season. So I feel like this is the most they've had since before Ash.
Yeah. Let me look it up here. If I go to the history of it all, this is great podcasting, by the way.
It is. So while you're looking that up, I'm going to give them a B. Because I do think that this is the best season they've had in quite a while. But at the same time, I think it could have, maybe should have been better. So I'm going to give them a B.
The last time they had more than 7 wins, they actually had 8 wins a few times, and 9 wins a couple of times in the Big East. But they had
under
8
Shiano.
Wins. By Shiano. They had 8 wins the year after Shiano left. Kyle Flood had 8 wins, but he didn't do.
What was that?
2014.
Okay. 10 years.
Oh, no, that was 2-3 years after Shiano left. I apologize. Because that's right. They were in the American with Kyle Flood for a year, and then they went to the Big Ten.
Wait a minute. They were in the American? I don't remember that.
Yeah, 2013, they were in the American for 1 year.
You better win that many games in the American, Rutgers. Come on now.
No. They won 8 games in the Big Ten the year before. They were in the American, and they were 6-7.
They won 8 games in the Big Ten the first year they were in the Big Ten?
Very first year in the Big Ten, they won 8 games.
Wow, I have completely wiped that out of my memory.
Including the bowl. So
That was gone from my memory.
Yeah, the Quicken Loans Bowl. So, they have not won 7 games since then. That was their last time. So 10 years ago,
I'll go
the last
B.
time they won 7. So, all right. So for me, for Rutgers, I was a little gracious toward him because I remember thinking in the middle of the season, we had Larry from Night Watch on here and we were kind of asking him questions like, why do you think this is going on? Like, what do the fans think? I mean, he was saying that like at one point the fans wanted Shiano fired, which I was like, Larry, I'm not trying to be mean, but like, that's crazy talk. Like, Shiano's the best coach in my mind that Rutgers has ever had. Not just right now, but like his years he had before when he was in the Big East. And so for me, like, I didn't understand it at all, and I told him, I was like, I think it's just injuries, man. Like, I think once they start getting some of these guys back, they're going to be much better. And they did. They beat Minnesota beat Illinois. But they gave Illinois a really good game. They almost beat Illinois, and they won a number of games there at the end of the season. So
Look,
I'm with you. Like, I feel like seven should have been more, but they still got over the win total.
Yeah.
They had a good recruiting class this year, 30th in the nation. Like, if you can get Rutgers in the top 30 in recruiting classes, that's really impressive to me. And I feel like overall the vibes are kind of up for Rutgers right now. I don't think it'll be so easy to get to seven wins again because of the schedule. So that is kind of where I ding them a little bit. But I'm actually going to give them a B+.
Okay. Yeah, we're right there with each other. By the way, where Shiano is at right now is he needs to build more depth. That's where they're at. And that's really where they got hurt, in all honesty. Yeah. They had more depth. That win total might be closer to eight.
I agree.
8 or 9.
What'd you say yours was again?
I went with B.
B, okay. All right, so I went with B, you went with B+. All right, what team you want to talk about next? I picked the last two.
Okay, let's go with Maryland. Let's just stay out the East Coast.
Okay. You want to go first? You want me to go
first? Yeah, F.
Okay, D+.
I can't. Terrible. I preached for years that this was Taulia Tagovailoa. That was why they were successful. They had some decent wide receivers, and Taulia was a really good quarterback, and they didn't appreciate him. And, boy, this year showed exactly that. Bad team, F.
Yeah. I was D+ because they did have a pretty good recruiting class. Their recruiting class was 28th in the nation, so I feel like I do need to give them a little bit of credit.
I didn't know we were putting recruiting into this.
I was. You didn't have to, but
okay.
But yeah, I mean, even
if we're doing recruiting with it, F.
Okay. All right. Glad we're staying consistent. All right. Let's go with really easy here. Oregon.
Hot take: crab cakes are terrible.
Okay. Oregon, really easy one here.
A+. that team right now is welcome to the Big Ten, Oregon. Congratulations.
Yeah, they got the number four.
Dan Lanning's the best coach in the Big Ten, hands down.
Yeah, they got the number four recruiting class in the nation. They finished the season with 12, 13 wins, whatever you want to call it. They beat their rival this year.
Beat both their rivals.
Yeah. I went with only the protected I went with only the protected rivals on my little sheet here because I didn't want to be unfair. And so Penn State didn't beat the rival, but they also didn't lose to the rival because they're our rival. Which I don't know how Penn State fans feel about that.
Penn State views us as their rival.
Yeah. Which I know you view Penn State as a rival too.
I do, because I'm old school. Yeah.
Yeah. Some Ohio State fans do. All right. Let's just do Penn State now.
Yep.
Big Ten championship teams. You go first on this one. Go ahead.
A-.
I did the same.
I think they actually maybe overachieved a little bit, possibly. But at the same time,
their win total was 9.5, and they won 11 games. So.
Yeah, but the only team they really played was Ohio State. In Oregon.
I mean, yeah, but they could have lost to Minnesota. They could have lost to USC. Like,
they could have, but they shouldn't.
Right, but that's what I'm saying. Like, they shouldn't, and they didn't, even though it was close. And so at the end of the day, they still end with a good win total of 11 wins. And I think
are we really going to live in this world, JR, speaking of Penn State? And I know you got a lot of Penn State people here. Are we really going to live in this world where they – get dog walked every year by Ohio State or Michigan, who whenever when they play them, Oregon now, and somehow might get further in the college football playoff than both of us somehow, maybe? Because I mean, you want to talk about just being like when the bracket comes out and you're a Penn State fan, man, like you guys gotta be doing cartwheels when you saw that thing, man. Home game against SMU and then Boise, like you got a better roster than Boise.
Yeah. I mean, I will say like they only lost by a touchdown to both Ohio State and Oregon. So, I don't know.
Yeah. Dog walk was probably a little bit too aggressive there.
Yeah.
Sorry.
But I see what you're saying. Like they lost to both those teams again, and I think if any Penn State fan told you like we don't care, we're in the playoffs, I think they'd be fibbing a little bit.
And listen, I know what you're all gonna say. Yeah, but you guys lost to them this year too for the first straight time. I know. Yeah. I get it. I
just
understand.
Just wait for the Ohio State grades.
Trust me. Yeah.
Yeah, just wait. But yeah, I think A minus is good. Choctaw, Montana.
Choctaw, Montana.
I believe
Yeah, good to
that's
see you,
A
man.
minus PSU. Thank you. Yeah, if you guys want to put your grades for the teams in the chat too, let us know, and I'll bring them up and see what you guys say. Sorry, I always forget to say that kind of stuff. All right, let's go USC.
This was hard for me. I think they
It wasn't for
underachieved.
me. I gave him a D.
Okay, you actually went lower than me. I've been lower than you. I went C minus.
Okay.
I kind of expected USC to have some difficulties this season. I knew that the travel was not something they were used to. I predicted as the season would progress, they would get worse, and they actually got worse much quicker than I thought they would. I don't know. I still think that there's a chance that Lincoln Riley ends up in Chicago.
Maybe.
And which might not be a bad thing for them at this point. Yeah, I went with C minus.
Yeah. I went with D because you beat UCLA. Like, congratulations. Not really much of an accomplishment. You lost your quarterback when because your head coach wanted to make things look like, oh, it's somebody else's fault by benching Miller Moss. I mean, would Miller Moss still have transferred at the end of the year? I don't know, but I never thought Miller Moss was the biggest issue. Like, I felt
No,
like
he wasn't.
you could
And
have taught him a little bit
dude,
better certain areas, but
let's
yeah.
go back to the beginning of the season. They beat LSU and Miller Moss played out of his mind that
Yeah.
game at the beginning of the season. Like they
Yeah.
started off hot and just.
Yeah. No, I agree. And then for me, like, I also, I mean, I took different stuff into account that I didn't tell you about, but I took into account how arrogant Lincoln Riley was at Big Ten Media Days. Like, the dude was talking about, like, oh yeah, blue blood, we're coming for the Big Ten and all this stuff. And then you go 6-6 overall. Like, what's that? They lost to Notre Dame, so what's that conference record? Like, I don't even know. 4-5 in the conference? I mean,
Yeah.
like, it just
Not
not
good.
good.
Not
Not
good.
good. Actually, no, they won their other one, so they were 3-6 in the conference. So yeah, I mean, the way I look at it, like, you went to this conference hoping and
No,
wishing.
they were 4 and 5.
Oh, that's right, because Notre Dame was in our conference game.
Yeah, they
Yeah.
were 4 and 5.
Sorry. But yeah, I just, like, for me, 6-6, 4-5 in the Big Ten is the big one, though. You regressed from last year with a worse record. I know you had a better schedule this year, but still, after all that stuff they were talking, yeah, for me, yeah, can't do that. Let's do Ohio State. Let's get it over with.
Incomplete.
Okay. So you're going to give him an I.
Yep.
I
Ryan Day
remember when I
did.
got the I in school.
Ryan Day did not turn his homework in. This is why I
I
say incomplete, okay?
Okay, good.
If you're gonna say I'm basic, if I'm the teacher, I'm handing the assignment back to Ohio State and saying, do it again in the college football playoff and let's see what you get. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
And if you say, if Ryan Day lays a complete egg in the college football playoff, then I am going to say your grade for the regular season was C.
Yeah. I feel
Ooh,
like I
dead
am like
middle.
I feel like I have been the most negative Ohio State fan lately because ever since the playoffs got announced, I feel like there are a lot of Ohio State fans that are just really, really up on the program and gonna win and all this stuff. I mean, but you heard me and Corey talking about it. Like, you asked what our percentage chance was. I said 10% of winning the whole thing, and Corey said like 1%. So if I have to give a grade for the regular season, now I think Ryan Day can save this if they advance far in the playoffs. I'm not even saying he has to win the national championship, but if they win two games in the playoffs, I would feel much better about it. But
Well, if you're going to do that, you might as well win three and go to the championship game. Come on.
you should, but I'm just saying, like, for me, that's what makes it better. And yeah, Shellcracker says 10-2. See, yeah, I tell you, like,
guys, but hold
I'm gonna
on.
Be worse. I'm no. gonna be worse. I'm gonna say D plus.
Oh, okay. Now, yeah. Check this out, though, guys. Listen, you don't get to tell your fan base that it's Natty or bust, and we all came back as players to yep. beat that team up north, win the Big Ten, and go to a national championship game. And you don't get to feed the fan base what Ryan Day has fed us to get us all to all buy in to then go 10-2 like that. And it's not just that they went 10-2. It's how they went 10-2. The first loss was forgivable. I actually predicted they would go to Eugene and lose at the beginning yep. of the season. But to lose four times in a row, and how you did that in your home stadium, the way you did it, it's unacceptable. It's absolutely yeah. unacceptable when you are the ones to try to tell us as fans that we should put these high expectations on the program because you yourself have put them there. So,
yeah,
that's how I mean, you get that grade.
To me, there was just so much stuff in the offseason, and maybe I have a microscope on Ohio State and not anybody else, and so maybe I'm grading them more harshly because of that. I probably am. But to me, you had all the stuff about the $20 million roster. Everybody's coming back, and, you know, we're going to defeat Michigan, and, you know, we're coming for to Natty your bus. Well, guess what? Your biggest game of the year against the number one team in the nation, you don't win in Ryan Day fashion at the end of the game, where it doesn't seem like really anything has changed. The defense looks better after that, so give him credit there. But then Ryan Day put himself above the team by trying to look tough against Michigan. And it's like, dude, that's four times in a row. Are you ever – this is the worst Michigan team that Ryan Day has ever seen as the head coach at Ohio State.
It will be the worst one he ever sees if he, right. he gets another chance.
Exactly. Promise and, you. And this was the best team. I guess you could argue 2019, but this was hyped up as the best team that Ryan Day has ever had. And he couldn't beat Michigan with the best team he's ever had, and Michigan having their worst team. First-year head coach, too, the worst team that they've had in his career. Like, I know I'm grading tough on him, but like I said, if he doesn't do something in the playoffs, it's just, for me, it's complete failure of a season. And I know mm-hmm. that sounds incredibly entitled and, you know, like spoiled because it's like, oh, you went 10-2. But like, honestly, if this was another year, like if this was 2021, I'd be like, okay, 10-2. I'm not really happy about it, but I'm okay with it. Like I can see the improvement and stuff. But no, it's been 4 years now.
This is like going. Yeah. Someone says, hey, you need to watch me dunk this basketball. Like it's going to be great. This kid talks himself up about how awesome of a dunker he is. And then you go down to the gym to watch him dunk and he can't even touch the rim. That's what this feels like right now to me. That's why I'm such a hard grader on Ryan Day and Ohio State right now.
Yeah.
And like, I'm hurt.
I agree with Choctaw here. Like, if they had just beaten the team up north,
yep.
Michigan, I'd probably be around A-, you know, right now. I'd probably give them an A. But you lose that game. You lose go into the Big Ten championship. Like, this has been 4 years now where Ryan Day has not accomplished a single goal that Ohio State sets every single year. He has one more chance to achieve one goal, which is win the national championship. But I just don't have confidence that he can do it, so... Yeah, that's where I'm at. If I'm spoiled, I'm spoiled. It is what it is. All right, Eric, let's grade Michigan since we were just talking about him. I will give Michigan for me a C+. Now I know they only won 7 games. I know their win total was set at 9.5, but you got Bryce Underwood. You have a top 10 recruiting class. You got all this money, which I don't even know if that should really factor into it, but the vibes are pretty high right now, and you just delivered one of the worst losses in Ohio State history, right? I'm not going to say it's the worst because I know that, you know, other, you know, people in the 90s and stuff like that with Cooper and that stuff, I'm sure you'd have thoughts on that, Eric, but like, I'm not going to say it's the worst, but it's one of the worst losses, and you get to brag about that on and on and on. And guess what? Even if Ohio State does win the Natty, you can still say, but you didn't beat Michigan.
Yep. You see all this gray on my chin? That's because I'm reliving the John Cooper 90s right now, currently. That's what's going on right here. Okay. Now I'm going to give them a C plus, and it's one better than Ohio State because they beat us. And but I will say this: the reason why I'm not going B or higher for these guys is because I had to hear all off season at the beginning of the season from their fan base about how good they were going to be this year, and that they were going to play bully ball and they were going to win at least 9 or 10 games. And I said, "Nah, I don't think you guys are as good as you think you are," and I was right about that. So C plus.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not giving them, I'm not giving them a B or something like that. They still underachieved expectations. They were expecting to be a playoff team. That was their expectations. So still down from that, but overall, I just think everything around the season, you won 7 games. Man, if they beat Alabama, they're gonna be really they're gonna be really happy. I don't think they will. That's gonna be a really tough game. But
That game means absolutely nothing. I
yeah.
mean,
I mean, it's just one of those games at the end of the season where, like, if you win, you're feeling good about your team because most likely some of the backups played well, and you're looking forward. It's like USC last year, right? When Millamoss threw 6 touchdown passes, like, it didn't mean anything, but it made you feel really good about Millamoss for next season.
yep, which
So,
apparently was fool's gold, so.
maybe, like I said, I don't think he was the problem. So, all right. So you said incomplete, but overall was a C for Ohio State if you're just doing the regular season. Okay. All right.
If you're gonna make me give you a letter grade for your graphic there, I know how that goes.
I appreciate that. I appreciate that. Oh boy, we still got a lot more to do. Let's do Purdue.
Do we want to go rapid fire a little bit?
Yeah, we can still go a little bit, but yeah, a little bit more rapid fire. So Purdue.
This is a total F.
Yeah.
And that explains everything right there about that entire tenure for Ryan Walters.
I thought about, like, maybe giving them a D because they did
How?
fire Ryan Walters. Like,
Oh, okay.
they were talking about giving him a third season. Like, I mean, they were legitimately thinking about it. And it's like,
Buyout,
dude,
tough there, you
the
know?
guy's got less than $10 million buyout. Just fire him. But yeah, at the end of the day, I was like, I don't think I should take into account if they fired their coach or if they lost their coach or not. So yeah, F. Like I said, 105th recruiting class, that would be 10th best in the MAC. The MAC. Yeah, not good. Minnesota. I gave Minnesota a B plus. I
That's
liked
exactly what I
Minnesota's
was gonna say.
season. They
B
had a
B
win
B
total of
plus.
4.5. Yeah, they had a win total of 4.5. They won 7 games. They beat USC. They give a
You know
really good
what? You're
game
talking
to
me
Penn
into an A
State.
minus.
Am I?
A little
The only
bit.
reason I didn't give them an A minus is because I did feel like there were a number of really close games that they could have won that just
Well.
makes you think. I just saw this from Dave. I think he's talking about Purdue minus C. Never seen anybody give a minus C before. I like that, Dave. But I for me, it was if you would have won one more of those close games, either North
Okay.
Carolina, Penn State,
Yeah.
something like
Yeah, the
that.
North Carolina game was disappointing because you should have won that one. I'll go B
Yeah.
plus.
Yeah. So I went B plus. All right. Where you want to go next?
Oh, let's go Wisconsin.
All right. Wisconsin, Luke Fickell. People are down on the Badgers right now. Eric, what's your grade?
I'm gonna go with a C minus, and it's because it could be lower, but I'm going to go ahead and grade them on a curve. Losing your quarterback like you did was hard, but here's my prediction. If Ryan Day gets fired, Luke Fickell is going to be your defensive coordinator at Ohio State.
Not the head coach.
Not the head coach, defensive coordinator.
Okay. All right. What you said? C minus.
Yep.
I went D minus.
Woo!
I don't care that you lost your quarterback. You lost your quarterback last year, and you sucked then too. And you knew Braden Locke wasn't it, and you still rolled in with him as your backup quarterback. And I feel justified in saying this because I know Wisconsin fans, and I know Wisconsin fans are really down on what's going on right now. But the way you ended the season too, you don't make a bowl, you get blown out by, I mean, it's not blown out, like you scored 25 points against Nebraska, so it wasn't the worst thing ever. But you essentially got blown out by Minnesota 24-7 in that game. You go 0-for-2 against your rivals all season. Your bowl streak is cut. Like, that's something that really matters to
All right,
Wisconsin.
all right. D plus. All
Okay, D
right.
plus. I talked you into it.
You talk. All right. I just really like Fick, man. He's one of my dudes.
I do too. I want him to do well, but yeah, I just I mean,
I want him
if
to.
I'm grading on the season, it just did not go
I
well for
want
him
him to
this
come
year.
back to Ohio State and be the defensive coordinator for the rest of his career.
I mean, Jim Knowles might win the Broyles Award this year.
He might.
So, yeah. Let's see. Sorry, Chad. I'm not engaging as much right now because we're kind of getting rapid fire a little bit. Easy one here, Indiana.
A plus.
Same.
Google it.
I thought about A because they didn't beat Ohio State, but vibes still seem
Dude,
to be up
they
really
haven't
high.
Beat Ohio State in 29
Or
and straight.
I shouldn't say
30 straight
because
games.
they weren't.
So it's like.
They weren't close with Ohio State. Like, if it was like a one or two score game, you know, maybe. But yeah, it. I think you're still really, really happy if you're an Indiana fan. So, A plus.
You're ecstatic, man. A plus.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. Michigan State.
I went straight C.
Straight C. Their win total was 5.5. They win 5 games. I did think the win over Iowa was good. So, you know, that's beneficial for him. I think Aiden Childs kind of, you know, made some things better, but because the recruiting class wasn't very good, I did do a C minus, but if he does really well in the portal, he might flip that. He might get a C plus or something like that. So we'll see, but all right. C minus for me, C for you. I'm sorry. What'd you say on Minnesota? You said B plus.
Yeah.
Okay. I forgot to write that one down. Northwestern. I went D because you just came off having coach of the year. You just came off winning 8 games with the bowl game, and you come out this year, you only win 4 games. You have quarterback issues. You're trying to figure stuff out. You brought in Mike Wright. Mike Wright didn't go well for you, so you go to Jack Lausch, which Jack Lausch looked better, but he also looked really bad at times. And you know, you're thinking, oh, maybe things are looking a little bit better because David Braun brings his own staff in and stuff. David Braun's arguing with his offensive coordinator on the sidelines, and things just don't look great there. So, I mean, Northwestern, you know, I still think David Braun's a good coach. He can get him to, I think, bowl eligible next year. But this year, their win total was 5.5, and they only won 4 games.
Yeah,
so, I'm going to give him a D.
It's a D.
Yeah. All right, UCLA. I gave UCLA a C because I just
really?
I felt like this is kind of what you thought UCLA was going to be. Yeah, they were
really?
5.5.
I went B minus, man.
You gave B minus? Okay.
Yeah. They
Talk me
listen,
into B minus then.
At the
Talk
beginning
me into
of
C
the. At the beginning of the season, during the Big Ten media days, we got informed that UCLA is also in Los Angeles.
That's true.
By the end of the season, everybody knew UCLA was in Los Angeles. I mean, come on. They were better than I thought they were going to be, let's be honest.
Yeah. I mean, I did think Eric Bieniemy was not as good as you had hoped. He looked a little bit better there at times, but you get an offensive coordinator from the NFL, you think that's going to go a little bit better. It did not.
Yeah, look at what he's dealing with, man. That
right,
roster.
I'll be nice.
Depleted.
I'll go C plus. I'll go C plus. You talked me into it.
All right.
Rob 33 says, as a hardcore Michigan man, OSU under Tress and Urban was just straight out tough teams and played that way. Boy,
yeah.
Did we miss them. Rob, I'm curious, what would you grade the Michigan season? Do you agree with us in C plus, or would you go higher because of the Bryce Underwood stuff? I'm curious your thoughts, Rob. We'll get back to that in a second if he answers. Illinois, Eric.
Yeah, this one's a B plus.
I gave him an A.
Really?
I did. Their win total at enter the season was 5.5. They win 9 games. They win both of their rivalry games. Their recruiting class wasn't great, 43rd. But, I mean, I've talked to a number of Illinois fans, and I think they're really, really happy with 9 wins this season. Man, if they had just beaten Minnesota, they'd have been talked about for the playoffs. You know,
yeah.
I don't think they would have passed the South Carolina, Ole Miss, Alabama group there, but they would have been up there. They would have been above some Big 12 teams and got some more recognition. So, I mean, you're talking about one more win and you're possibly being discussed for the playoffs at Illinois.
Okay, A minus, fine, JR.
Yeah. Okay.
A minus.
A minus. All right. I didn't mean to talk you into it, but I'll do it.
You know, Brett Bielema did about burn down his coach's office by trying to make a frozen pizza in his office. So, I mean,
yeah,
can't go higher than A minus.
That's true. Rob says B, D if they didn't beat Ohio State. That makes sense.
I love how Ohio State Michigan fans grade their team so hard based on one game. So amazing.
I went down to a D because they lost.
Yeah. And he's like,
I get
he's
it.
Like,
I
B, we won that game.
I Man, if Ohio State was in that situation and they were almost 6-6 and they defeated Natty or bust Michigan
Oh,
team,
we would be
I probably
celebrating
should have
the
made
same
mine
way
higher
they
than
are,
C
man.
plus, I
It's a
guess.
listen. I say it on my show all the time. The reason why we hate each other, but we need each other.
Oh yeah, it's great for recruiting. It's great for recognition.
We would not be, neither program would be who they are without the other one. And the quicker people admit that, the more I think it lessens the sting a little bit.
Yeah. It still stings though.
It does. It lessens it though.
I'm still
Still
hurting.
hurts.
Okay, we don't need to go into my depression. Okay, Nebraska. You want me to go first? You want to go first?
Yeah, this is the hardest one for me.
Okay, I'll go
One of
first. I
them.
feel pretty confident in this one. I give them a B. They made the bowl game. I mean, they literally rushed the field when they made the bowl game. So I feel really good about that. This wasn't a situation where you had like a Tyler Van Dyke or somebody, and like you're like, oh no, what are we gonna do next year for quarterback? Like you've got Dylan Raiola, and Dylan Raiola, I mean, he didn't look phenomenal for a a freshman quarterback. Like DJ Lagway looked better, stuff like that. But I mean, he still played well enough to keep the job all season, and Matt Rhule seems to really be invested in him. And so, f far as I'm concerned, I'll go with a B. They did lose their game to Iowa, so maybe I should have put them down a little bit more because of that. But
Yeah, let's go. I'm going B minus.
okay.
If you talk to the common fan guys, man, they had talked themselves into possibly being a 9-win team.
Chop
And
Dog agrees with you. And I think at the beginning of the season, you really thought that was going to happen too, right? They started what,
5 and
5-1,
0,
4-1?
wasn't it? Wasn't it? Weren't they 5 and
No, they
0?
lost to Illinois, so they were.
They were 4-1.
It's either 4-1 or 5-1.
Then
I
they
forget.
went on, and then they went on. They won. I thought they had 5 wins, and they went on like a big time losing streak. Indiana, Ohio State, etc.
Yeah.
And they lost to UCLA at one as well.
Yeah.
So B minus.
Yeah. No, that makes sense. All right. I'll go with B. You go with B minus. I'll be a little bit more up there. All right, our last one, Eric, and I feel like this one is pretty straightforward. But Washington, 7.5 win total. They only win six games. They do lose to Oregon, but they do go undefeated at home. So anybody that watched them at home this season, they got to see a win. And the recruiting class was better than I expected. 23rd best recruiting class in the nation. That is good for, I think that's fifth in the Big Ten. Let
I
me.
think Fish is a good coach.
I think he is too. I just don't know how long he sticks around.
Really?
Seventh in the Big Ten, because Nebraska was 22nd. Well, he just bounces everywhere, man.
Well, so what? Where are you? I'm curious. B minus.
I actually went C minus because they were so
Ooh.
under their win total, and I think they had talked themselves after that Michigan win. They had talked themselves into like, oh, we could win seven games, but I mean, they lost to UCLA on the road. You know.
C plus. Let's give him a C plus.
Okay. We meet in the middle. We're C.
Yep.
That works. So, all right. I think that makes sense. I don't see a bunch more
I'm
people
going
just
through
kind of
my
talking
head,
to each
making
other in the
sure we
chat.
got everybody in my head.
Yeah, on my list here, we got everybody. So,
Okay.
yeah, we're good. So, just to reiterate the grades really fast, we went with Indiana, Oregon had A pluses, Illinois and Penn State had A minus and A, or Penn State was both A minus and A minus, and then Rutgers, Minnesota, Nebraska. Oh, Rutgers and Minnesota were both B pluses. Nebraska got a B from me, a B minus from you. UCLA got a C plus and a B pl minus from you, and then everybody else was pretty much in the C's or lowers. Oh, Iowa got a B minus from me. You were a little tougher on them
It
because of your
was.
hatred. You gave him a C plus,
Which is
so
justified. Chat shared with me that I'm justified in that hate.
yes, I agree. I agree. So,
Who was your most disappointing team outside of Ohio State and Michigan this year?
you gotta read my fickle comment. I'm sorry, I didn't
Yes,
see your fickle comment.
put up Dave's fickle comment.
There it is. Fickle is a paper tag. He's whining like Ryan Day. He's perfect for Ohio State.
Beautiful.
I've not heard him whine as much at
Bring him
Wisconsin, but I'm
back,
not
baby.
denying.
So
I'm not denying that he is.
interesting thing about Fickell and I, okay? So I'm cousins with Ryan Miller. Ryan Miller started the Second Seven organization with Vrabel Fickell, okay? Both those guys. So I know him. I know him, okay?
Lot of good work, yeah.
And he's a his him and his family are just a great family, dude. And
Yeah.
Fickell's tough. Did you realize Fickell has the all-time winning percentage in Ohio high school wrestling. He never lost a wrestling match his entire high school career. He was the greatest high school wrestler in the state of Ohio.
That makes me think who's the worst coach at wrestling in the Big Ten?
We know the worst coach.
Yeah, who's the worst wrestling in the Big Ten?
There's like, not every Big Ten school has a wrestling program, so I'm going.
I'm saying who, like, which coach? Like, if they put all the head coaches in the Big Ten together in a tournament, like,
oh my gosh, we have to do this show. This is a phenomenal show. We need to make a bracket and everything. Okay, fix the number one.
I think Barry Odom would be last, just because he's older, but he might be tough. I don't know. Jonathan Smith seems kind of wimpy.
I feel like Cignetti would be outside smoking a cigarette right before his match.
He pinned every opponent in the tournament, Doug says. That is amazing.
He was a stud. Amazing.
We'll have to do that episode on the OHIO podcast. I mean, Greg Schiano would murder somebody. I just know that. Yeah,
well, Schiano and Day would actually be a great match. They almost put the blows one time.
Oh, Day would get destroyed.
You think?
Oh, yeah.
Day would be like, Schiano?
I'm tough. And then Schiano would just...
You're just so down on him right now.
I am. I'm sorry. If there's Ohio State fans in the chat, they're probably mad at me. I've made a few Ohio State fans mad with how down I am on Day.
Well, you and Chris both. Listen.
I'm not as bad as Chris.
Day would start
in the Chris category.
Coach Day would start a circle prayer with everybody, all right? Before it's all over, everybody would be praying, and we'd have revival. It'd be great. So, I mean, it just depends on what you want, man. I would like to see PJ Fleck wrestle. That would be interesting.
He would be a feisty one.
Yeah. He'd be better, I think, than people think.
Oh, yeah.
But then you got someone, you think about some of the bigger guys we have. We would have some super heavyweights in this conference.
Brett Bielema.
Brett Bielema. What's his name over in Maryland?
Oh, Mike Locksley. Oh,
Brett Locksley
would kill.
Locksley's been on the Ozempic tour lately, though. That's so true. I mean, he might be a light heavyweight now.
Yeah, him and Day both went Ozempic in the offseason. Good for them. I don't know if he actually did or not. I just heard some people say that. And I thought it was funny.
I'm just saying it, man. it makes sense to me.
Matt Rhule, would he be a good wrestler? I think he would.
Yeah, maybe.
I don't think so.
Franklin would probably break it. Like that would not end well. Or not Franklin.
Franklin's kind of feisty.
Kirk Ferentz.
Like
Kirk Ferentz. I mean, Kirk Ferentz.
Oh, yeah.
Like that would not end well for him.
That's just an age thing, though.
It is, but let's be cognizant of that. Like you have to take that into account if we're really going to do this.
I would say if I'm not taking age into account, I think my two worst that I would want to see the match between is probably Jonathan Smith and Lincoln Riley. Ooh. And they're in the same weight class.
So. Yeah. Yeah. This is really good.
John says Dan Laney would put someone in a chokehold. Look, Dan Laney would have foam coming out of his mouth.
Yes, he would. No, could we include coordinators into this?
If we wanted to, sure. Yeah.
I mean, that would really.
What coordinators are you thinking of?
Because the defensive coordinator from Oregon, I think, would absolutely kill somebody. That guy is a beast.
He'd bite somebody's ear off. I could see it happening. That's hilarious.
If we're just going to do position coaches, then Coach Locke, the running backs coach at Ohio State, kills everyone.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, he destroys everybody. I would like to see that wrestling match, Dan Laney and Luke Fickell.
Oh, Fick would kill him.
I think he would, but I think Fick
is a real wrestler. Like
I know, but I'm just saying, I think Dan Laney has the crazy psychoness to him that, like, he would just do something insane and he would stay alive in it. We should ask the chat who they think would win. Well, I can't do that right now because we're about to end the episode. So, hey, that's true. Troy says Laurinaitis, son of the wrestling great.
Now, if we're going WWE wrestling, then Laurinaitis has got to
come his,
on.
His dad or his uncle? I thought it was
his dad. His dad was Animal from the Road Warriors.
I don't know why I thought it was his uncle. Who's his uncle? Is his uncle somebody?
Well, I don't know if Hawk, he probably called Hawk, who was his dad's partner, probably called him his uncle because they were tag team partners. Probably. But yeah.
Yeah.
Legion of Doom, Road Warriors, depending on which. Yeah, I just showed all of you my wrestling. I was a huge WWF wrestling fan. It was WWF when I was a kid. Listen, I have achieved my goal in life, and I look just like King Kong Bundy now. So, other than the fact I have hair. So, yeah, I grew up wanting to look like a professional wrestler, and here I am.
Oh, my. We've gone completely off the rails. We've gone completely off the rails, but I love it. We'll have to get Zach's take on this when he comes back. We'll see who Zach thinks is the best.
He'll love
best
it.
Wrestler in the Big Ten. So, all right, Eric, thanks so much for being here. Tell people where they can find the OHIO podcast and where they can get the wrestling talk with the Big Ten.
Well, you're not going to get wrestling talk unless you get it from Chris.
Chris will talk about it.
Chris loves wrestling. You can find us on YouTube at the Ohio Podcast. If you want to listen to the podcast, just look up the OHIO podcast wherever you want. And go to our website sometime. Check out our website, theohiopodcast.com. We have articles there, links to all of our social media accounts, as well as our YouTube channel. And we do daily stuff, man. This was actually my third podcast today.
Wow. You're putting in the work.
Yeah.
And it went half of 3 hours. We always try to go an hour, but it never works. Dave says, Mr. Perfect, Ric Flair, George the Animal Steel are all from Minnesota.
As well as Laurinaitis.
As well as Laurinaitis, that's correct.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, so that's crazy. Minnesota was a giant wrestling territory for a long time. So back before WWF took over. Yeah.
Does Minnesota have a really good wrestling program?
Yeah, oh yeah. Yeah.
Is it? Okay.
Penn State
and Iowa.
Minnesota,
and stuff,
right? Iowa were both really, really good. And Oklahoma State. For a long time, Iowa State, Ohio State's gotten up there now. Penn State.
Well, they had
now,
the really good. They had the really good dude. What was it, Kyle?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Who won the Olympics and then yeah.
Yeah, he was crazy.
Yeah, he was phenomenal. But Penn State's kind of running the roost right now in wrestling. But
I listen to some of the Locked On podcasts every now and then if I run out of stuff, just to hear a little bit of more Big Ten stuff, and. The Penn State podcast for Locked On, they are by far the podcast that talks the most about wrestling.
Oh yeah. Well, they're dominating the sport right now in the Big Ten, and the Big Ten is far and away in wrestling. It's far and away the best conference. It's not even close. Oh, by the way, Big Ten is also the best conference in girls volleyball. Like
Nebraska,
I mean it.
Wisconsin, Ohio State is a pretty good team, don't they?
Yeah, they're all right. Okay. I say that in their top 25, but I'm like, yeah, they're all right.
They built that big facility, so I thought.
I'm
sure there's other ones I'm just not mentioning. I think UCLA, do they?
Oh, yeah. By the way, did you know UCLA and USC both have beach volleyball teams? Highly recommend watching that, fellas.
There you go. Get your tips. Get your tips on beach volleyball here.
And you say, who's better? I don't know. It's all I can say is the viewer wins.
I think there's probably half, if not more, of the Big Ten that probably doesn't have beach volleyball.
I would say
should have it.
We acquired UCLA and USC, we acquired our only beach volleyball team in the whole conference. There's nobody else in the Big Ten playing beach volleyball.
Dave is right. Boise State had that punk rock girl that was awesome at beach volleyball.
Really?
I think she played on the regular volleyball team too. Did you
see her? I didn't know she played beach volleyball. Boise's got beach volleyball? What beach are they playing volleyball at in Boise, Idaho?
You can find sand up there. You can find sand up in Idaho.
Well, if that's the case, why doesn't Michigan have a beach volleyball team? Because I guess
they got hockey.
Sleeping Bear sand dunes.
They got hockey. Which, by the way, Michigan not doing so well in the basketball game. They did really well in the first half, but they've kind of fallen off here. Arkansas is a good team, though.
Yeah, what do you got for Ohio State Auburn this Saturday? Is it not going to be good?
Not good.
I predicted a 90-78 win for Auburn. What do you think?
I mean,
12 points.
They did really well with small ball against Rutgers, and so I did feel
better
about that.
They played great again. After that Maryland game, dude, that give me anything after that Maryland game.
I was listening to Bardo Media a little bit, and he was saying he thought that Ohio State was still kind of reeling from that Pitt loss. They kind of let that stay
sense.
In their
It
head.
makes sense. But they got Bradshaw back with the program. Doesn't mean he's playing yet.
Yeah, he's not playing yet.
They need him. They need him in the lineup.
Yeah. Oh, sorry. I put up Rob's. I meant to put up John's. Not that I don't want to get your comment, Rob. I just meant to put because John was saying Aaron Bradshaw. Yeah.
Yeah. He's back with the team, but I don't think he's. I don't think he's being allowed to play yet.
I was under the impression he wasn't going to come back at all. So just the fact that he's with the team again makes me feel better. But
that well, and this is following the.
The investigation.
Investigation. So obviously they didn't find enough to keep him off the team.
But I'm wondering if it's kind of like the, I mean, we don't know a whole lot about it, but the Illinois player last year.
Terrence
Shannon Jr. I'm wondering if maybe there's going to be something with that. But I don't think Ohio State will keep him out all season if they don't find anything. So we'll see.
And we just turned this into a basketball podcast, and I apologize.
That's okay. We'll talk basketball Thursday night. Come back here Thursday night. I have Burke from Often Daunted over here.
Oh.
We'll be talking some Indiana basketball and everything else. Indiana got their big win last night over Minnesota, their very first conference game of the season. And we'll for sure talk about the games tonight of Illinois, Wisconsin, and Michigan, Arkansas. We'll talk about all those things too. So, come back and join us, everybody. We appreciate you being here. Have a good one.